Good evening. Thank the Lord to be here this evening. Have you been blessed in the meeting? I have. I always find it a blessing to fellowship with the people of God, and y'all are my family. And I have some thoughts from the Lord that the Lord has inspired me with, and by His help, I would like to share them with you this evening. Acts, the first chapter, the fourth verse. I desire your prayers this evening. It says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus with the disciples commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The promise of the Father is what I want to talk about by the help of the Lord this evening. I want to go to Joel, the second chapter, and the 28th verse. And we will read what the promise of the Father was. Joel 2 and 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. When I was a teenager, I looked upon this subject with a lot of confusion in my mind. And I didn't understand much about it. And you know, the devil wants it to be that way. The devil wants us to look at this subject. What is sanctification? What is the infilling of the Holy Spirit? What is the promise of the Father? What does it mean? Is it something that happens instantly? Is there cleansing? Is it something that's a gradual work? Is there a progression? And the questions just go on and on. And the devil puts some of those questions into our minds, and he wants to confuse us. But I want us to know tonight that the Lord had a specific, peculiar gift that He wanted us to partake of, and He longed. It's not something that if we jump through enough hoops and we say the right combination of words and we figure out exactly what's the magic potion here that we can eke out what God, some of the secrets God has. But this is something that in the Old Testament He longed for, the day when He would be able to give it to His people. It said that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And this is the time of which He is speaking. And I want us to know tonight, there's a scripture that says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And this is part of the kingdom. When we talk about salvation and sanctification, a lot of times we tend to separate them far apart from each other. But in reality, sanctification is, if I may term it this, a subset or a part of salvation. It's part of the full plan of salvation that God gave, that God came to bring us. It's the whole reason why we celebrate and we look at the scriptures and we sing these songs about no more let sin and sorrows grow or thorns infest the ground, because He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. He came to give us an unspeakable gift. And I want to talk about this gift just a little bit. This is such a broad subject And there are so many verses about it that I feel like that for the sake of time, we are forced to hit the highlights of it. And you can go home and you can study this and do homework for yourself. But I have a burden about the Holy Spirit this evening. You know, God uses His creation to teach us about Him. There are so many ways that He put something in the world as an example of something much greater. Look at the, if you'll indulge me just a little bit, I've been studying a lot about light lately. And sound. You know, God put lessons in those things. You know, Jesus is referred to as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, that rises in our hearts. But there are so many things about the physical Son that point to Jesus Christ. There are so many things about light that point to God. I want to give you a few of them. I want us to be awed tonight by the things that God did for us. He said, Romans, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but it says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And God put in His creation things that would help us to understand His attributes, who He is, what His desires for us are, what He wants us to be to Him and to each other. He wants us to be His people tonight. And it would behoove us to find out exactly who He is. I love to study nature. You know, light. I want to just say a few things about light. When we look at a rainbow, there are millions of different frequencies of light that make up that rainbow. But when we see the colors of the rainbow, our mind breaks them into 7 colors. It does. In a scale of music, bear with me, I hope you don't get bored with this. In a scale of music, mathematically, it is more efficient. And it makes more sense mathematically to split a scale, an octave, into 6 equal parts. But we don't do it that way. We split it into 7. That's the natural way that our brains interpret an octave. We split it into 7. And the first note in the octave, as you go up the octave and get to the last note, you can see that that last note... If you sing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and then the next one is the same note again. It's a returning, and those things speak of spiritual things that the Lord has made. I want you to think about this. There are 3 primary colors, and all 3 primary colors make up pure white. If you shine a red light and you shine a blue light and you shine a green light, all in the same space, they make pure white. And if you play the first 3 notes, if you play the 3 notes of a major chord, that chord sounds complete. And if you take the frequencies of light and play them as musical notes, it's a major chord. And if you take the 7 notes in the scale and you go all the way up and it returns to the next one in the scale, if you do the same thing with light, if you take the frequency of light, the first one in the rainbow, which is red, and you double that, and when you double the frequency, A above middle C is 440 hertz. If you double that frequency to 880, you get the next A. Every time you increase an octave, the frequency is doubled. And you know what you get? When you double the frequency of red light, you get the color that's just beyond violet. Three primary colors. 3 notes in a major chord. We split them into 7 divisions. And in a scale, there are 3 primary notes to a chord, 7 whole notes, and 12 half notes. I just want us to think about some of these things. God put things in nature to teach us about Him and who He is. That's kind of the backdrop that I want to set tonight. I want to go to another thing that God put in nature. I hope y'all are still awake. Genesis 2, the 7th verse. And the Lord God, I want us to look at the language in this verse. It said He created the animals, and He put them upon the earth. He created the plants, He created the trees, and He blessed them. He said He said, be fruitful and multiply. But He pays special attention, the writer does, to the process by which God made man. And it said the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. So now he's a complete form. It said He made him in His own image. But that's not all He did. After He formed him, it said He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And if I could tell you today what the thrust of my burden is tonight, it is that we can grasp what sanctification is, and that is that it is the life of our spiritual existence. It's the breath, the wind, if you will. And maybe that's not a really good way to describe it, but I want to read a few more scriptures. You know, animals breathe too. But God didn't give them the same kind of breath that He gave humans. It says that man became a living soul. I want to go to John, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And here we've heard a little bit in this meeting about analogies and how God uses analogies. Well, here's another analogy. God, and we have it from the authority of Jesus Himself. He said, this is the process that you're going to have to go through to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a birth. It's a being born again. Now, what happens when, I want us to think about a birth this evening and what's involved in it. You know, when a baby is born, there is the travailing, and the parents are anxiously waiting for this child to be born. It's a time of trepidation and sometimes worry, and you're just waiting for this baby to come, and there's the labor, and then the child is born. And you know, the child is surrounded by water. I just want to give some examples here. If you can bear with me a little bit. But when that baby is born, it's a whole baby. It's complete. But it's got to do something. Before it starts eating, before it starts drinking, before it starts talking, before it develops language skills, motor skills, it's got to start breathing. That baby has to start breathing. It's the first thing it's got to do. You know, a baby, it's not dead before it starts breathing. But when that baby is first born, I remember the excitement and the joy of receiving my new children into the world. But you know, if it waits too long to breathe, you start getting worried, don't you? Because in the breath is the life. That life is the guarantee of its existence. That breath, when it starts taking breath, it's born and then it breathes. Oh, Lord, help us this evening. I have some thoughts that I feel like that the Lord gave me, and I ask for your prayers this evening. I want to go to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. You know, the church is represented as a mother that gives birth to children. And the converts are the new children, and they are born again by the power of the Lord. But then they need to start breathing. Ezekiel 37 in the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is a prophecy of the new covenant of the gospel. What's going to happen to Israel, the house of Israel? The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now we teach, and it's biblical, that there are two distinct works that the Lord has given us. It's two distinct works, but it's all part of the same gift that the Lord came to bring. It's part of the full plan that God had for mankind. Now, I want us to notice the language in this chapter where it says that I prophesied and the flesh came upon them, their bones came together, but there was no breath in them. So I prophesied again, I prophesied to the wind, and it came, and it separates those. And there are two separate works. Now I want to go into that a little more, but when it talks about the creation of man, what did it say he did? He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And don't you know that that is part of the lesson that God wanted to teach us? These things, He gives us examples that are repeated over and over, trying to teach us things about Him and the things that He has for us in our spiritual lives. The seven days, don't you know God could have created the world in an instant if He would have wanted to? But He did it the way that He did it, for a spiritual type, for a lesson, for something that we could get a hold of. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know all the reasons that God did the things that He did. Some of those things belong to God. And when I get to heaven, I want to find out more about who He is. He's unfathomable. But what I can tell you is that there are many things that He put where we can learn about Him. Examples, it said He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then it said after He formed him and he was a complete man, that He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we have the miracle, and it is a true miracle, of birth. And that baby comes forth and is a brand. I want to tell you, there's nothing like the feeling of a new person. You get to meet your child for the first time. Somebody you've never met before, and it's a new person. And they start breathing, and then they start developing their own identity, and they start learning to walk and learning to talk, and they're cute, and there's just nothing like it. You know, the Lord wanted us to learn some lessons about that. About the growth. About the life. About the sweet innocence. I want to talk a little bit about the two works. And I asked the question when I was younger, why are there two works? Why is it at all separated? Why don't we just, when we get saved, why don't we just get the Holy Spirit just right then? Why doesn't it, I mean, if God wanted us to be, if God wanted us to have the Holy Spirit, why did he do it the way that He did it? I want to read in Romans 12, first verse, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now hold that scripture for just a minute. I want to read one more. In Romans 8th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. When we come to get saved, what do we have to get saved? We have to have faith, don't we? We have to be sorry, don't we? But beyond that, there are things that the Lord wants out of our lives that we are simply not capable of producing before the Lord washes us in His blood. There are things that the Lord wants from us. I want to read the story of Cornelius in Acts the 10th chapter. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So down in the 25th verse it says, So he went and got sent for Peter. Peter came. Peter had to have a vision that said, you shouldn't call any man common or unclean. And so he had that. And as Peter was coming in, the 25th verse, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Anyway, Cornelius said, So here's what happened. 4 days ago I was fasting, and this is what happened. I had an angel come to me and said, Then I needed to send for you, and you would tell me what I needed to do. And so Peter started to preach. He said, Now, in the 33rd verse, he said, Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. They were there. You know, Cornelius was an ignorant man in many respects. When Peter came, he didn't even know that he wasn't supposed to fall down and worship him. But you know, that kind of thing doesn't matter to God as much as that Cornelius' heart was all the way given to God. And all he wanted was what God had to teach him. And you know, that's what that right there is really what we have in order to be a candidate for God's Holy Spirit. Is that we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's, you know, consecration. That's all it is. That's all that God requires of us, is that we consecrate ourselves. He longs, I want to tell you this evening, He longs to fill our hearts with His Spirit. And He is waiting for those that are willing to say, Lord, I don't have any limits. Here I am, right here. I want to hear everything You have for me, good or bad. I give my heart to You. You know, the Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. And you know, this is... Let's read the rest of this, and then maybe we can talk about that some more. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after baptism, which John preached. So anyway, he preached Jesus Christ unto those people that were ignorant. They were not Jews. And it said that they were listening. And I think that we can infer from these scriptures that they knew that Peter was come from God. God had given him a vision and said, You listen to whatever this man has to say. And they were fully accepting the truths and the new light that God was shining into their heart. And you know, that's all that God required of them. It said that while Peter was yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them which heard the word. Cornelius was an ignorant man. He didn't even understand all about what the Holy Ghost was. And you know, I'm not even sure that Peter knew everything about what it was and what it did. He had received it, but the gospel was it was new. Everything was new. And they were preaching it, and Peter didn't even know before the day before that he could even take it to the Gentiles. But I'm so glad that he did, because we're Gentiles. And it said that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You know, Cornelius and his friends did not have to go and jump through a bunch of hoops and memorize a bunch of scripture and go to classes and get educated about how to apply for this Holy Ghost. Their hearts had to be totally given to God. I want to tell you that I think that today, that it's more difficult to do that than it appears on the surface. God wants people tonight that are willing to give themselves completely to God with no limits. And to say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And I want to repeat once again, that the Lord longs to send His Spirit down into our hearts and fill us with His love, with His understanding, with His patience, with His truth. How are we going to survive in the kind of world in which we live without the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us? Jesus isn't here on the earth anymore, but He is here in our hearts. He said, I will be in you. I with the Father in me, I in you. And it's just wonderful. I want to go to a scripture in John 12, 24th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it bringeth forth, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So, part of my burden this evening is maybe to clear up a little misunderstanding. To clear up if there's some confusion in some people's minds this evening. The Lord wants to send His Holy Spirit. It is two distinct works of grace. If you'll give me the liberty this evening, I would like to propose to you that we can't meet the requirements before we have salvation that God wants us to meet for the Holy Spirit to come. But once we are saved, once we are born, once we are a new creature, you know, some people separate these so far and say, you know what? I got saved. I don't know about the sanctification thing. I don't know what I want to do about that. I personally know a person that got saved, believed, and he didn't, was afraid that the Lord would call him to preach. And never went and gave himself completely to the Lord because he was afraid of what the Lord would do. I want to give us a warning this evening. What happens when a baby is born and you can't get it to breathe? It's not going to last very long, is it? A few minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. When that baby is born, it has never taken a breath before. Because it was nourished by the mother. But it is supposed to start breathing. That breath that comes into its body is the life, is the sustenance of that new child. And you know, if we go and we get saved, first of all, I want to say that if we consecrate ourselves completely to the Lord, I believe we are candidates for the Holy Spirit. And if we go for, I don't want to put just a time on it, but months, years, I'm going to even say weeks. And we have the understanding, and we know we need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and we know we want that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and we hold back. We want the benefits of salvation, and that we don't want to go to hell. We want our sins to be covered, but we're not ready to give ourselves to the Lord, because what if the Lord wants me to be a missionary? What if He wants me to preach? What if He wants me to change my job? What if He's not okay with who I'm going out with? What if, and there's 1,000 of those, but you know the Lord wants us to do that, and if we don't give ourselves completely to the Lord, I'm just reading scripture here, folks, this evening. If we get saved and we just go along like that and we say, you know, I'm saved. What happens to the baby if it doesn't start breathing? The life, the breath. John, in the 3rd chapter, when he was talking to Nicodemus, maybe I'll go back and read the 8th verse. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I want to ask you tonight, have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you presented your body a living sacrifice? I want to tell you that the world, you can find plenty of places in the world in nominal Christianity today that will say we need to accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. We need to get saved. We need to repent, and then God's grace will flow over us and cover everything that we're ever going to do. And they preach the conversion, but not the consecration. And the consecration's where it's at. The consecration is where the real life starts. Because when we give ourselves to the Lord, we don't know what kind of life we're going to have. But I want to tell you, somebody asked me a while back, said, so somebody that was asking about sanctification and what it was, and like I used to be, they were confused about it. And they said, so would you say that it's easier to live saved since you've been sanctified? And I said, oh yes. Oh yes. Because the power that's there, folks, I want to tell you, it's something, at the risk of repeating myself, we separate them so far apart from each other. But in reality, they're not supposed to be that way. When we get saved, we need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And how can we do that? The scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. And when we experience the regeneration and we're made a new creature, we can look at that and say, you know what? He died for me. He did all that. He went to the cross. We can understand what He did. And we have that clean heart, and then we can say, I want to give myself to Him. I want to present my body to Him. I love Him. I want to ask you tonight, do you love Jesus? Do you love Him because of what He did for you? Do you love Him enough to give your life to Him? He gave His life for you and me. Tonight, I want to extend an invitation. The gospel is not for the half-hearted. It's not for those that are not willing to sacrifice. It's not for those that just want the benefits of salvation without the consecration. It's not for those fair weather people that want to serve the Lord when it's convenient. But when we present ourselves before the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to give myself to You. I want Your Spirit in my life. The Lord wants to give it Jesus said it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he said that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want us to take heed here that this is part of the full plan that God came to bring us. He wants to pour His Spirit out on you and I. This is the answer to church problems today. This is the answer to contentions. This is the answer to feelings of envy and jealousy. This is the answer to addictions and things that we have and giants that we can't seem to break. This is the answer to generational weaknesses. It's the promise of the Father. Oh, what a wonderful promise. Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight living in your heart? The song says, "Say not, Christ is in thy desert, for we can believe it not." I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, that if you walk a half-hearted life, and all you can say is, "You know what, I'm saved, but I don't know about this other stuff. I can't really take my hands off of everything. I fear for your soul." Pray for me. I want to read one more scripture. Bear with me. Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, this is Jesus talking here, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, "I will return into my house from whence I came out." And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You know, we apply this a lot of times to just devil possession, and that's definitely included, but I want to tell you that when we get saved, the devil is cast down out of our lives, and our hearts are swept and made clean by the blood of Jesus, by the washing that Jesus does. And I want to tell you that the devil doesn't want the story to end there. If we get saved and we neglect to give ourselves completely to the Lord, there are things that the Lord, by the power of His blood, cast out of our lives that are just waiting to come back. You pray for me.